Hello and welcome. My name is Russell Trafford-Jones and thanks for joining me. This is Broadcast Focus, a show where we look behind the scenes of the broadcast, media and entertainment industry by talking to the people who make it happen. There's always new technology emerging and this is often catalysed by live sports and filmmaking. And so whilst the LED screens of virtual production look amazing and are refreshingly tangible, much of the time new technology is about finding new ways of working and sometimes seems like rearranging bits and bytes. But as we saw from SDI, if you get the bits and bytes just right, then you can have technology which takes over the industry. And to talk about this, we've already spoken to Andy Rayner previously on the show about ground to cloud, cloud to ground, but I'm really pleased to invite Andy back on the show. Hi Andy, how are you doing?
Greetings, sir. I'm doing well. Good to see you again. And you trust you're keeping well over there to the west of me.
We're all good. As we were talking, we're getting ready for winter over here and the coats are coming out. You're heavily involved in VSF with respect to this. What's your role? Just remind us within the VSF.
So I'm one of the directors of VSF, and also I co-chair the ground to cloud to cloud to ground. It's very difficult to say that word, that name. I co-chair that with John Mayart.
Cool. So we do have a chat previously where we went through the reasons for it and all that. So there'll be a card for that in the description as well. So please do watch that if you need to. But what we'll do is we'll quickly just cover what is it that's so difficult about moving video. We've got particularly video, but it's really all essences, isn't it? You know, we've got the way to do that. Numerous ways to do it on-prem with 2110 NDI and other things. We've been doing it over the internet with SRT and RIST. What isn't working that we're looking for something else?
So basically all of those above that you have mentioned are derivatives of what I describe as linear or hose pipe connectivity, signal-based connectivity for exchanging data. So right back for the last 90 years of television, we've always had this linear serial flow of analog, then digital, then packetized digital data, which represents the signal. That has worked very well, absolutely brilliantly, as you say, SDI, and then more recently 2110, the essence-based IP packetized version of that has really come to the forefront in the last 8 years, and that's been a great success story for the industry. And there are other proprietary tools such as NDI, again, that very much are still that linear streaming connectivity. The thing about moving to doing most or more and more of the live production workflow in compute, which is an inevitable journey that the industry is on, in my view, is that compute is not natively good at doing nice linear signal flows. It's very good at dumping out bulk bits of data once it's done the compute it needs to. So we can, the compute-based stuff that we've actually introduced into the workflow so far does quite a lot of hard work taking what it's done and creating a very linear flow to go back into a 2110 compliant infrastructure, for instance. Mm. And then, the next piece of kit, if that's compute, has to receive that compliant 2110 flow and then convert that, into the compute thing and do a similar thing. So what we're looking at doing is saying we want something that works compute native. So the information and the data pertaining to the media essences that are being processed is handled natively by the compute rather than complying to a ground centric linear host pipe world of connectivity.
So looking at these diagram, we've got cloud at the bottom. It sounds like this is cloud focused rather than for the other use cases. We've got distributed centralized.
Yeah, so this is kind of just stepping back a bit as a bit of a bit of a refresher. So the top one there on traditional on location. So that's the way that most production's been done for at least 80 of the 90 last years, where you've got the acquisition devices, the production, the processing, the storage, and the control all co-located, be that in a studio premises on the studio floor in the gallery, or I'm in an OB truck. That's kind of the way we've done it. And we are now moving to what I've been calling in many presentations of the last couple of years, location agnostic production, which is basically those things don't have to be co-located, and there are transformational benefits to workflow, cost saving in terms of people, equipment, environmental savings. So there's a whole lot of reasons why all of these models actually are very useful. And the bottom one there, yeah, is talking about the storage and processing being cloud centric, and that cloud, just for clarity, could be private compute or public cloud. But yes, so that's is the model at the bottom that we're specifically thinking about today.
Okay. And so, as you say, right, public and private clouds, they are different, but on the other hand, they are compute-based. And yes, increasingly, everything's compute-based, whether it's in the back of the bays in your studio or whether it's in a private cloud. I'm guessing the idea is that it will continue to have applicability the more it matures wherever you happen to be.
Yeah, absolutely. So the storage and processing being in non-appliance based and being in public or private hosted compute infrastructure is a really important thing. And I think one of the things that's really important for the industry is that we are as platform agnostic in the way we're defining how we work. Obviously, there are some companies that are innovating quite quickly in this space, but we do want the standard way of working to be as platform agnostic as possible. And that's not to say it's not going to flourish or have certain advantageous performance in certain platforms. But yeah, the focus we've got is that platform agnosticism as much as possible.
Yeah, so to keep it platform agnostic, and then also, should we call it timing agnostic? The idea is, are we embedding more timing data in so that we can do things differently?
Yeah, absolutely. Getting away from the host pipe, but getting away from the host pipe does have some timing imperatives associated with it. So, as I think I've probably alluded to in one of our previous conversations, I think one of the biggest frustrations I have with how 2110 worked out in the end is we didn't take the opportunity to embed timing information that persists through the production workflow. That was a drop off, and we're trying to actually make recompense for that at the moment in some modifications and additions we're making. But fundamentally, the hose pipe on the left, you can see, and the acquisition, you know, typically, although that may not be the same in the future, but typically coming out the camera, you have a linear flow, be that an HDSDI cable, fiber, or a 2110 feed, but it's linear. And obviously, by the time the end consumer needs to look at it, it has to be linear as well to actually, but that it may be linearized just at your device. But in the middle, this compute that I've been talking about, this asynchronous bursty compute, needs to be able to live. But if we're going to go there, then the timing imperative, that is having an absolute timestamp associated with each grain of media essence, be that a video frame, a partial video frame, or a clump of audio samples, or a piece of metadata that's associated that's forms some ancillary flow. All of those need to have a timestamp that persists, an immutable timestamp that persists with them, and that is actually carried through the whole production chain. Because once you go asynchronous, unless you've got those timestamps, you don't know what maths you're applying to which samples to actually do a crossfade or to do whatever, a logo insertion or whatever function you're trying to do within the workflow.
Yeah. So post IBC, most people come home. They think, oh, thank goodness, we'll get ready for Christmas. Some people then go off on what I call the American conference season, particularly with the SMT Media Technical Conference, is that the one? And VSF and others, they tend to happen around that time. So given that you've been over to the US since IBC, where's the conversation going with respect to this work?
Yeah, so October was a good time for the US event. I spent a week on the East Coast in New York, where we had the VSF conference on the Monday, we had the SVG Transport on Tuesday, and then NAB New York /AS the rest of on the Wednesday and Thursday. So that was a great week, lots of great conversations. Quite the Monday session, the afternoon specifically, the VSF session, and I think it may well be online soon, so do check that out if you want to look them up. But we actually had quite a good critical mass of industry people that were contributing and interested in discussing the future of GCCG, especially how it converges with the requirements that other parts of the industry are looking. Félix Poulon was there from CBC, and he specifically presented the DMF, which I know you're looking to cover in future episodes. But that actually has some specific demands on needing to define the very thing that we're working on in the GCCG in VSF. So it was great to have kind of another perspective, which was very much centered on end user requirements. And all of these kind of standards and recommendations development really pivot and live, and their validity indeed is based on having sufficient end user requirements that actually drive in a real user world, you know, what actually needs to be done. So that was quite an excited bit there. And then we've had various other conversations, and spin forward to the Simty event, which was only the week before last in LA, which again was a great session. We had quite a few conversations about this work there, both on the platform and off the platform. I did a live demo of some prototyping of this interface, which we were running live from Europe and demonstrating in LA, which was quite fun, a bit risky, but it worked.
Well done.
So yeah, it's exciting to have actually had different input from different people on both sides of the US during October. And I do feel there's kind of a groundswell of opinion moving. And as I said at one of those events, I feel this is kind of a little bit of a birth of SMPTE 2110 moment, in terms of at the point SMPTE 2110 was birthed, there were other vendors, some vendors had already started their own journeys, which were divergent. What we tried to do in the middle of the twenties was to converge the industry. And I think this is one of those moments where I think there is a collective will to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's only something that I really realized firsthand in recent years, but the amount of work that goes in just to finding enough people who have genuinely got a reason to want a specification or a standard is tricky. You can't, even if you kind of get people excited, that doesn't mean that their company, their organization is behind it or even giving the right info. So it's really great when you suddenly find you're hearing the same thing from all different parts of the world. Doesn't mean it's any easier to make the specification, but the chances are you'll get to an end goal which is useful for everybody. So
absolutely.
And from what you've said, the idea of having the GCCG applicable both to the cloud and on-prem and basically everywhere, it's no surprise that everybody's coming up with this kind of same requirement, because whether people have moved into the cloud or not, there is this move to continuing to be software based and more IP.
And it's interesting looking at the convergent thinking that's coming out specifically in the work we've been doing with the GCCG bit, and specifically the C2C bit we're talking about here, the cloud to cloud, you know, the intercompute transfer, because both within some of my dev team in Appear, they have developed effectively an equivalent of this as a part of the internal infrastructure. And there are other entities. There's a local industry colleague in Suffolk, David Atkins, that has been doing some work under the Frame banner. He had developed a similar specification. And actually, when we both started to review and input the GCCG work, we found actually there was 90% synergy already existing. And then we've been just challenging some of the bits that, you know, we had defined in the standard thus far, because it's been a slow burn. It's been almost 2 years since we started the GCCG work. We started with the easy bit, the G to C and C to G. And now we've focused on the C2C. But now people are actually doing draft implementation. So people are prototyping. So, you know, we've developed on our side a shim to GCCG, and other entities have done the same. So we're actually, once you start implementing, you start to see actually what the pain points are, what the obvious things that you should have defined are, and what things really don't work.
So you mentioned GCCG is easy or different to the cloud to cloud. Does that mean the specification will have different embodiments for wherever you happen to be? Or is it just that no more thought needs to go into that, but it will be the same kind of protocol.
So largely speak, I think the reason that the G2C and C2G bit is easier than the C2C bit is what we're really doing is the G2C and C2G at the moment, and I say at the moment because this obviously could change, are streaming interfaces. So we're basically recommending use points on existing interfaces and existing formatting. So be that a JPEG XS or an AVC over TS flow or whatever those flows are that we're using to get into cloud or into compute, right, should I say, and out of compute. Now, obviously, if you've got private compute on the ground, you may be natively connecting directly with 2110 if you've got high-speed interfacing. Yeah. But going in and out, certainly your public cloud, you're likely to have some form of compression on the flows going in and out. But so the guidelines around that was very much, these are the operating points with these compression tools, with these wrappers, and this is the way we're handling extracting timing, and this is the way we're handling resilience and all of those other bits that go alongside that. Whereas the C2C bit, nothing exists yet. You know, there is no compute-to-compute handoff, apart from the embryonic work, just to give credit, that AWS Elemental did with Krill, which became CDI, which they put on GitHub some 2-3 years ago now. And that was quite foundational in at least catalyzing a starting point for the thinking of some of the things that we needed to do within the C2C bit of the GCC's G work.
So at the moment, coming into the cloud, going out of the cloud, that's still funnel style, would you say? And then the idea
still a hose pipe. Of course, the interesting question is, that classic diagram that you put up earlier that I've used a lot of places, this one. Yeah. So, in my mind, you've got this, when I drew this, I was assuming that the camera would always have a hose pipe output, go into the compute, get as far as the edge of the compute as a hose pipe. And then you would have this asynchronous compute-based exchange, data exchange happening, and then you go back to a hose pipe at the far end. But actually, much in plus 20 years of that linear piece really exists is another question, because it might be staying compute chunks right to the edge device, at the far end, and not be streamed as a linear flow. And similarly, you could conceive that the cameras in the future could have a direct asynchronous output. So maybe that whole 90 something years of linear hose pipe connectivity may actually gradually whittle away and not exist at all. But hey, that's for the future, I think.
That's possible. I won't put that down as your prediction for 2025, but we'll keep an eye out. So lastly, then, where are we in the process? It's a working group, is that right? In the BSF, and I assume there's different parts of the process. And just give us an idea.
Yeah. So basically, we are in that kind of refinement phase now. So we published the draft just prior to NAB in April, the first draft, and we've actually, as I alluded to earlier, due to learning from implementing both ourselves from Apeera and other entities that have been doing some work here, have contributed into made quite a few changes, not significant changes, but tweaks. One example of one thing that's actually a real hot topic at the moment is actually, just to be nerdy for a second, is the video format. So interestingly, we were looking at having the same packed sample format that's used in 2110. Because that's probably a CDI inheritance, because that's what CDI did, because it was just lift and shift of the incoming 2010 flow. But actually, the mindset that seems to be emerging is, when we're in compute, let's keep things as uncluttered as possible and not burn compute cycles on packing and unpacking every sample as it traverses it. So we've got to the point of view where we're probably going to be running with, as the de facto, 16-bit linear video planar samples as the way we hand them off, because then the compute doesn't have to do anything to actually, before it manipulates it for the next thing. So that's just an example of a tweak that's happened since we've got into implementation. That's also a demonstration of how compute technology has evolved even more in the 2 years since we started, because it's more capable, both high bandwidth connectivity and compute has become more capable in that time. But so the draft was published in April. We're doing lots of tweaks to it at the moment. We haven't got a definitive, and I need to talk to talk to the team this week about that. We haven't got a definitive date where we're trying to wrap it up, but I would hope we would actually have a reform the draft by Christmas, by the end of this calendar year, sufficiently for people to be actually using that as a base hash one to work to, would be my thinking.
Cool. And that's for both the cloud to cloud part as well as the ground to cloud.
Yeah, exactly that.
Good stuff. Yeah, well, it's nice to see this happening in front of our eyes and gradually coming to pass. I'm glad to hear that it was a live daring demo. So well done for getting that working. But you've got to stand by the tech, haven't you?
Absolutely, and there's nothing like getting the adrenaline going when you get on stage, when you're wondering whether all of the infrastructure across the world is going to keep working whilst you're talking.
Cool. So thank you for that. Thanks for updating us, and look forward to talking about this again. It's always fun. And what I love about doing the show is the ability to bring technology alongside all of the other things that we need to think about to make the industry great, and making sure that we're sustainable, making sure that we are treating everybody equitably. And there's all sorts of great topics to cover, and some of them are down in the weeds of the bits and bytes, and I like those too. So thanks for sharing, Andy. And I look forward to speaking to you in the future.
No worries. Yeah, I'll come back to you with an update, hopefully soon.
Perfect.
Take care, Russell. Thank you for your time.